really a lot to think about in that song. Certainly we need to always be a praying people. That's the key. That's the difference. Take your Bibles now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. The message today, as we're continuing through, is entitled The Final State of the Church. The Final State of the Church. What does the Bible say about it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I hope you'll find your place. And this is a description, and there are other descriptions, of the church of the apostasy. The apostate church. The church that is turned away from that which was once delivered to the saints. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. That ought to tell us something. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That'll upset the animal rights, folks. Basically, what Paul is saying to Timothy is, watch out, it's going to come. It'll begin in your day, and it will continue. It will get worse and worse until the church, or Christendom as we would know it, will go into apostasy. And I believe we are seeing that today. 2 Timothy 3:1, the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We just started a doctrinal study to review and for some to learn it the first time in our church. Because it is so vitally important. The warning is that some will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Make me feel good. If that isn't a theme of the modern day church, I've never heard it. Scratch my itch, make me feel good as I come into your service. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse after verse after verse tells us that there will be a great falling away within the church, what we would know as Christendom. Now, we're giving some examples in the Bible of Christendom and what's going to happen to it. One of them, the Bible talks about a mustard seed. And the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and it grows, and that mustard seed, that tiny mustard seed, grows and becomes a big tree. But what do we find in the limbs of the tree? We find filthy birds in the limbs of the tree. That was a prophecy of what was going to happen to the church. These unclean birds roost. Another example he gives is of leaven. Many say, well, it just shows us the church is going to get better and better and better, and finally Christ is going to come when everything gets so good. No, leaven is a type of evil and wrong and bad. And it's talking about the church and what's going to happen to the church, or Christendom, as we would call it. All denominations, all faith movements, as we would refer to them today, are going to get away from and are getting away from the truth of the Word of God. Go to the apocalyptic scriptures, the apocalypse, the revelation. And in the book of Revelation, what are we told? John the Revelator tells us about these different churches. And he begins by commending that first church, the church at Ephesus. And he simply said, I have somewhat against thee. Now that's not too bad, is it, to have somewhat against thee? But by the time we get to the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, as he's talking about that church, and each one of these churches are typical of a part and a segment of the church age leading to this last church, the church of Laodicea, where do we find Jesus? We find Jesus outside of the church, knocking on the door saying, please let me back in. And I'm telling you that the majority of the churches in America today, Jesus is on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. We've substituted everything in the world for that. And he said to them, you have left your first love. That's why we don't have revival. That's why we don't have some of the things that we desire, because so many of God's people have left their first love. And when love dies, faith dies. And when love dies, obedience dies. 2 Peter 3:3, Peter says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And what are they going to be saying? Saying, where is the promise of his coming? Amen. In other words, tongue in cheek, we really don't believe he's coming again anytime. We really are not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they ask the question, are not all things as they were? Well, friend, any dummy would know the answer to that. No, all things are not as they were. They're suggesting everything is the same. No, China is now a nation. Russia is now a powerful nation. Iran and these nations that are going to link up with them in the end time to try to destroy Israel, they are now in place. Yeah, things have changed. But their indication is that there is no second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, when the church loses their focus and their belief that Christ could come imminently at any moment, then we are at home in this world. That's why a lot of Christians are at home in this world. They are not looking for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love the caresses, we love the tributes, we love the accolades that society will give, and we compromise because we're very much at home in the world. What are some of the characteristics of the church of the apostasy? You remember he gave a warning. One thing is that the church of the apostasy is founded on natural law. I don't want to get too complicated or deep in it, but let me just mention to you that they do not believe in divine revelation or that there is a personal God. The church today, and I'm talking about inside what we call the church, not atheists and agnostics whom we take it for granted, they're going to believe these things inside the church. They refer to Jesus, they refer to God as the first cause, but not a personal God. They talk about the great source of energy that started this, but they do not want to talk about a personal God. They talk about nature and the powers of nature and the laws of nature that they have always been, but there's no sense in believing there is a true Jehovah or that there is a true person named Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about within the church. And so we have impersonal physical laws. We explain it all away and we say there's no such thing as answered prayer. There is no God to pray to. There are no miracles that can take place. That is a figment of somebody's past imagination. Amen. Then there's a departure from the Holy Scriptures. We have in our churches departed from the Holy Scriptures. We, so many churches, do not believe this is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. That every bit of it, every last bit of it from beginning to end is the Word of God. I believe that I'm preaching from the infallible Word of God. I believe God has brought it to us, preserved it for us today. But you'd be surprised at the people who do not believe that, that are preaching in pulpits this morning. Denominations who have taken a stand and say, we do not believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. And some of them, my dear friend, are Baptist groups who take that position. They say this is one of many efforts. It was all right for its time. And they tried the best they could to define God. God is not now reaching down to man. Man is still trying to reach up to him. This was just one of the efforts. And now we're educated. Now we know better. We know that a lot of the things in the Bible are not true. And there's a universal departure from the infallibility of the Word of God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I believe this book. Amen. And I'm going to place my eternal life in everything I believe on the blessed Word of God. And then in our apostate church today, the apostate church is telling us that one religion is just as good as another religion. We don't have the true faith. We don't have the exclusive faith. We don't have the one way. I was in a conversation with a man the other day. He tried to convince me that there are all kinds of ways to get to heaven, to get to God. I said, sir, there's one way, and that's through Jesus. If you don't take that way, you will die and go to hell and spend eternity separated from Him. There's only one way. Here's something that sort of would disturb us, and it's a quote, and it says, most United States adults range far from knowing or caring about the distinctive teachings about their professed faith. What they're simply saying is most adults in Christendom don't really care about what you believe or what they believe. They just want to have a profession. USA Today, which is not your most conservative periodical out there, here's a direct quote from a professor from Rice University, a sociologist. Listen to what he says. Americans believe in everything. It's a spiritual salad bar. Rather than religious leaders setting the cultural agenda, today it's Oprah Winfrey. May God help us. No. You say, well, that's unbelievable that USA in some professor of sociology would realize that, but let me quote you from a pastor so-called, and here's what he said. We take what is true in Christianity, and eclectically, that is, we choose what we want to from it. Eclectically, we take what is truth in all the other religions of the world, and we amalgamate all of these truths, and our church in its message is above Christianity. It assumes and amalgamates all of the great truths of all of the great religions of the world. That, my friend, is the apostate church. And I'm telling you, they're teaching that everywhere, in seminaries all over the place. Professors, they call themselves pastors and all. Another quality of the apostate church is that they deify man. That's where we got secular humanism, which, whether you realize it or not, is a religion. Secular humanism is a religion recognized by the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and it exalts man and dethrones the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that man is deity, just in a different degree from God right now, that we are little gods. By the way, that's the whole premise of the easy believism and the prosperity theology. That's nothing in the world but New Age stuff that tells us we're little gods, and if we'll just fan that flame of being a little god, we can have anything we want. We have that flame of deity, and we'll become someday a god like Jesus Christ. The Mormons will teach that, and some of the others. We are, because of that deification of man, under the law of evolution. It is so popular, and still they won't let go of it. It's the law of the university. That's what they're going to teach in most universities, unless they're Christ-centered and faith-based. And they're simply saying we are evolving. We're evolving upward and upward and upward. I'm wondering, how dumb can you be if you think we're evolving upward and upward and upward? Friend, what I see is not an evolving upward, it's a spiral downward. And the more we believe in evolution, the more we're going downward. They say there is no perfection in the past. Never has been. Well, sure, there's been perfection in the past. Adam and Eve were created perfect. And yet, there was a fall. But you can't admit there was somebody perfect and fail, because if you do, then you've got to admit they need a redemption. They need a redeemer. And then you've got to admit Jesus is the Redeemer. And they're not going to admit that. So there's no fall of man, no perfection in the past. We're progressing upward, upward, upward. And finally we'll become an angel, or maybe someday an archangel. And so that brings a strange interpretation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will tell you that he will not forever stand as the great man that he was, or the perfect man. And we will someday even get better than Christ as we go upward and upward. Adam and Eve were not created perfect. To them, we came from some marsupial or anthropoid ape or some simian, which is a word that is talking about evolution and coming from a monkey, coming from an ape. And they say Adam was not perfect. Adam was not created that way, and Jesus was never perfect. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us he was. They go back to our past animal ancestry, as they call it, and who we are supposed to be kin to. And as they talk about it, they say the problems we have is just a drag on our animalistic background. But we're working on that. We were mean dogs, now we're better dogs. Amen. And some of these days, we're going to reconstruct all of society. Isn't that what the politicians are always promising? We're going to make it perfect. They can't. We have to choose the lesser of the two evils. But there are three stages in the progress of humanity teaching. And I'll cover these very quickly. One of them is theological. That's when man talked about and wrote about and thought about God. And then another stage, they say, is man studied man, anthropological. In other words, man began to write about man. And then the last stage will be the golden stage. And the sociological studies tell us that we will restructure society, society will get better, and we'll finally have a good government, and we'll usher in something like the millennium, and then all of the evil will be legislated away. It'll never happen. Never happen. And you know what that doctrine leads to? It just simply says, once again, there is no need for Jesus. There is no need for Christ. Jesus was once a teacher, and he was a teacher out of many teachers. Better teachers are coming along. Better days are coming. He was a child of his times. He was limited by his knowledge and circumstances, his messianic illusions that he had. Now we know better. And we're going to correct these false mistakes. No, we're not. That does away with the redemptive message. Friend, we need a redemptive message. We have to have a redemptive message. They say his blood, they take it out of the song books, they don't even want it in there. His blood is no better than the blood of other animals to them that have died. All animals. There is no resurrection. There is no interceder at the right hand of God interceding for us today. It's not there. Now very quickly, let me give you just a few differences between God's word and the modern church. Very simply put, the Bible says that we have a personal God and a personal creator. Amen? Amen? A real God, a personal God, a personal creator. They say there is no God, just some kind of force. There was no creation. Matter and energy always have existed. There is no personal God. We believe the Bible. The Bible says they're intelligent creatures. There's man. I've seen a few I wondered about, but there's man. There are angels. There are even fallen angels. And Satan, who is the god of this world. God made those angels, and a third of them rebelled against God. They say, the modern church, there's no such thing as angels. This idea of a devil is so old-fashioned. There is no such person. And the idea of demons, how uneducated can you be to think that there are demons around in this service trying to disturb right now, and that the devil is real? Oh, my friend, the Bible says that he is real. A professor at a Baptist college said this: no such thing as Satan and no fallen beings called demons. He teaches that at a Baptist college. The Bible says that man fell from his original state of perfection. That Adam and Eve were created and they fell from their original creation. And they disobeyed God. And as a result, they had to be redeemed. Right away, we got into the redemption in the Bible. He did not accept their fig leaves of good works and aprons that they put around them. He said, no, it requires the blood. There has to be redemption. And the redemption is based on the blood. The other church, the modern church, says man evolved upward. Man never has fallen. And I'm telling you that in seminaries in our country, they teach the first 11 chapters of Genesis are nothing but a story, a myth, a fable, a fairy tale that somebody made up. And I'm telling you, the Bible is true in Genesis 1, 1 through 11. It is the blessed word of God. Amen. It's God's word. But they say it's a bunch of myths. And I'm telling you, you don't have to go very far until you hear that kind of thing that is taught. Man evolved upward. There was never a Garden of Eden. Man does not need redemption. Give man time and man will work out his own problems and man will be God. The Bible teaches that Jesus became man to redeem man. Oh, thank God he did. What if he had never been born? What if he had never come via the virgin birth? Jesus became man to redeem man. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he suffered. And now he is in heaven. Now he is my high priest and your high priest. Amen. Thank God he is our high priest and he is interceding for us today. But the apostate church says Jesus is just one of many gods. He's just one of the sons of God. God is incarnate in all of us. Jesus' work is completed, his teaching time. And he was a good teacher, good moral example to all of us. That's all he was. His time is over. He's dead. He never came out of the grave. You say in churches? Yes, apostate church. Paul said, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that these things are going to come. The Bible tells us some good news. The Bible says that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom on earth. One of these days he's going to return. That he is a risen Savior. That he is at the right hand of the Father. That he's coming back one of these days in power. And he will set up his kingdom on this earth. And by the way, he's going to overthrow Satan. And he'll be thrown in the bottomless pit and all those who follow him. But the apostate church says, there's no hell. Had a lady join my church in Indiana. She said, I just couldn't stay down there at First Baptist Church. I said, well, tell me about it. What's going on? She said, I asked my preacher, why don't you ever say hell? You've never said anything about hell from the pulpit. He said, oh, we can't do that anymore. He said, we just can't mention hell from the pulpit anymore. He said, I always refer to it as the other alternative. And he said, we can't preach a real hot hell and all that. We just can't do that. Friend, let me tell you right now, there is a hell, and it's hot. And if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go there and spend eternity separated from God. And if I didn't believe that, I'd lay my Bible down, walk out the back door, and get another job. Wouldn't be worth it to me. But I believe what the Bible says. Well, they don't believe in all of that. No return of Christ, no resurrection of the dead. We just keep evolving. In man's kingdom, instead of thy kingdom come, they say, man's kingdom come. Man, your kingdom come. Then the Bible says there will be a conflict between good and evil that is going to continue. It's not going to get better. Christ will triumph, thank God, over Satan. Satan will be put in the bottomless pit. And my friend, that's as different as night and day. The apostate church or the real church that believes the Bible. May I remind you that such organizations as the World Council of Churches, people want to know, why aren't you part of that, or the National Council of Churches? They are apostate. That's why I'm not part of it. They are Marxist to the core. They are communistic to the core. They give money to terrorists. They give money, it's on record, to guerrillas who fight against truth. They destroy families. They destroy life. They raid villages. They try to overthrow governments in the name of the coming kingdom of, of God. And so we can't have anything to do with that. We are fundamental independent Baptist. Do we believe we're the only ones going to heaven? No. We just believe we're going to run things up there. No, I don't believe that. No, if you're saved and saved the Bible way, you will go. That's not the issue. That is not the issue. But I'm just telling you who we are. Now, the Bible is also a book of prophecy. It's a book that tells us about the future. It prophesies the destiny of the apostate church. In Revelation 17, and I'll hurry, but in Revelation 17, he's talking about the scarlet woman, and she's riding the beast. The apostate church. The one world church. The one world religion. And Antichrist is going to cooperate with her in the one world government for a while. But then God destroys the beast. And then God destroys what we would call Babylon. The revived Babylonian Empire. The evil system of the world. But who destroys Antichrist? God does. God's going to take care of him. Who destroys the scarlet woman? Well, the beast does. Do you see? Even the beast, even the government that is ruled by Satan himself, is going to get sick and tired of this apostate church. He's going to turn their backs on the apostate church, weary of their lies and pretensions, and turns and destroys it. There is a sentence of death written on the apostate church. That's why we don't want to have anything to do with the ecumenical movement. That's why we don't want to have anything to do with those who do not believe this book. She cannot live. The apostate church is a dying witness. There is no life. There is no power. They are unable to bring anybody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their message is the lie of inevitable progress. Have you read the headlines lately? Do you think we're in inevitable progress? You read the headlines and listen to the news every day, we're not progressing. We're getting worse and worse. You say, well, that's negative. No, that's reality. That's Bible. That's the truth. That's what's taking place. And every book of history would verify that things are not getting better. It's only going to get better for the believers when we're raptured out of here. And we're not going to have to go through the tribulation. And all hell is going to break loose on the face of this earth. And then Christ is going to return, thank God, and set up his kingdom. We're going to be called away. And the Bible tells us that. That's what's going to happen to the true church. The church of the book. The church of faith. The church that believes in redemptive love through Jesus Christ. There'll be two grinding at the meal. One will be left and one will be taken. There will be two in the bed. One will be left and one will be taken. We're going to be raptured out of here. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us. It is called an ecclesia. And I know that has local connotations, but it always has also has broader connotations. The ecclesia means a called out family. And God has been in the business for a long time of separating and calling out in his elective purposes, elected ones. He chose Adam and Eve. That was God's choice to make them. He elected them in the beginning. He chose Noah. Out of all of the people on the face of the earth, he chose him to get in that ark and his family. He chose Abraham out of total idolatry to lead the people of Israel. He chose Bethlehem above all of the other cities of the world that he could have chosen. He chose Bethlehem and a special Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephratah. He chose Mary out of all of the women on the face of the earth to bring the Christ child into the world. And he has chosen the church, the true church, to witness to Jew and Gentile so they can be born again and be part of the elect, the family of Almighty God. I thank God that I was raised in America. I thank God that I was raised in a Christian home. I didn't deserve that. I thank God my mama and my daddy took me to church every Sunday. We went to midweek prayer meeting. Nothing got in the way unless there was sickness. I thank God they taught me about who God was, and I was not raised in a heathen land. All of these things, and that I now have the privilege of pastoring, yes, a Bible-believing church. I wouldn't want to pastor anything else. You couldn't pay me enough. You couldn't give me enough retirement to take a liberal church that doesn't believe the Bible. I'm going to stand on the Word of God by the grace of God. And God, in His elective grace, I don't know why He let me be born in America, born to a Christian family. I didn't deserve that. But He did. But I'm glad He wrote my name one day in the book of life. Somehow, and I can't explain it all, before the foundation of the world, based on His foreknowledge, which is not causative, but He can't help that He knows everything. And He knew that when I was a 9-year-old boy, I was going to walk down the aisle when the Spirit of God drew me at a little country church in northeast Louisiana on a Sunday night during a revival and get elected, get saved, trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. And here I am. And friend, I hope that's what you experienced today. If you're not saved, that you would experience the fact that Jesus loves you, the Holy Spirit will call you and save you, and you can be part of the true local church that is biblical and of the true body of Christ that He's going to come for when it's completed someday, and it won't be the apostate church. And the only way to become part of that true church is through Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Say what you want. I don't care what you say. Either Jesus was a liar or He told the truth. Either He was a farce and a liar or He meant what He said. And if you believe He was God in the flesh and He said, there's no other way to heaven but me, that's it. That's it. Through Jesus Christ. We need to pray and respond to the wooing and the calling of God to you today. Amen. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. That's what I want you to do. If you've never been saved, let God speak to your heart and come down this aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. And if you're saved, oh, my dear friend, listen now. If you are saved and born again, then you, as a Christian, should love Him for His redemptive grace, for His elective mercy that dealt with you one day and brought you into the family of God. And He deserves that we live right and serve Him and praise Him and love Him more than anything else on the face of the earth. That our lives would show that we're not like those of the apostate church, but we have been born again and we love Him and we're going to live like it come hell or high water. We're going to live for Jesus. Father, thank You for Your Word. Oh God, thank You that You told us what was going to happen in the end time, so that those who are true believers and Bible believers would believe what this book says and live by it and not get sucked in to all of these different things that Paul mentioned there in those first three verses. Teachings that are erroneous to the truth. Thank You for warning Timothy, and thank You for warning us today. And help us to be sure that we stand for the faith. Help us to stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that will not be in vain. If there's somebody here without Christ today, I pray they'd be saved. There's a believer that needs some help. I pray they'd come and get that help from Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Will you come?